Radio Prague News.
The Czech Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek on an official visit to Brazil has met with the country's president Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. A 15-kilometer-long oil slick discovered on the Elbe River on Friday has raised environmental concerns in both the Czech Republic and neighboring Germany. The Communist Party has officially launched its campaign preceding June's national election, but the party's chairman and former leader have clashed. The Czech Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek, on an official visit to Brazil, has met with the country's president, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. Mr. Paroubek and President Lula met on Friday discussing economic issues as well as domestic and foreign policy, with Mr. Paroubek revealing plans for the Brazilian president to visit Prague in the coming months. The Czech Prime Minister stressed support for Brazil's effort to gain permanent member status in the United Nations Security Council, saying he expected that Brazil would show similar support for the Czech Republic, aspiring to become a Security Council elected member. Specialists on Friday were called in to lay protective floating barriers around an oil slick discovered on the Elbe River. The slick has raised environmental concerns in both the Czech Republic and neighboring Germany. 15 kilometers long, the slick was discovered on Friday morning near the North Bohemian town of Úzký nad Labem, near the Czech-German border. The Ministry of Environment and Agriculture in the eastern German state of Saxony, meanwhile, said it had been informed by the Czech steps to contain the spill. Exact causes of the contamination are not yet known, but it is possible the leak came from either a damaged pipeline or a freighter or truck accident. It is also possible the source of the slick might have been a leak from any number of chemical plants on the Elbe River. The Communist Party has officially launched its campaign towards this year's national election to be held in June. By criticizing the country's largest opposition party, the right-of-center Civic Democrats, currently leading in many opinion polls. Party head Wojciech Filip indicated on Saturday that the current government coalition leaders, the left-of-center Social Democrats, have more in common on governance issues, and there are indications the Communist Party could support a future minority Social Democrat government following elections in June. All the same, this week saw former Communist Party leader Miroslav Grebeníček clash with his successor, Mr. Filip, whom he criticized for being too soft on the Social Democratic Party. The Communist Party officially announced its campaign at Prague's Congress Center, but former chairman Miroslav Grebeníček was notably absent Saturday. Turning to sport and NHL hockey action on Friday, Czech player Aleš Hemský, a member of the Czech's recent bronze medal team at Turin, was instrumental in helping his team, the Edmonton Oilers, bury the San Jose Sharks. Hemský scored the decisive goal with 1:07 left in the third, cheekily sidestepping defenseman Josh Gorgas and scoring artfully on San Jose's goalie. The Oilers' 3-2 win snaps a four-game losing streak, leaving the team momentarily in position to clinch an eighth and final playoff spot in the Western Conference. I'm Jan Vellinger, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Peter Smith. Now, coming up later in today's programme, in One-on-One, our interview programme, Jarka Halková is in conversation with Mado Sokolm, who is a journalist, an American resident, but a journalist living here in the Czech Republic. And before then, we'll have another lesson of the Czech language with the ABC of Czech. But we'll start, as usual, at this time of the week with Daniela Lazarová, and she's got something about bilingual taxi drivers. That and more in magazine.
Amidst growing concern over the threat of bird flu, Agriculture Minister Jan Mládek went out of his way this week to show Czechs that there was no reason to fear poultry products. The minister, who claims to breakfast on yogurt and black coffee, presided over a breakfast that Emperor Charles IV would not have scoffed at. The tables groaned under the weight of roast chicken, smoked chicken, chicken sausages, salami, turkey sandwiches, turkey salad, and the like. Among his breakfast guests were the president of the Agrarian Chamber, the chief veterinary inspector, and the heads of firms and companies making poultry products. All of them tucked in to show that poultry is indeed safe as the cameras clicked like mad. Somewhat ironically, this orgy took place on the morning of Ash Wednesday, a day on which many believers start a 40-day fast preceding Easter. But business is business. There's a saying that if you save someone's life, it belongs to you forever. And this appears to be true, even if that someone happens to be a wild boar. When 56-year-old Pavel Eichler saved a wild baby boar lying injured in the cornfields close to his home, about a year ago, he never expected it to become a close companion. The baby boar was christened Bohosh and pampered by the whole family until it got well. When Pavel decided that the boar was well enough to be let loose in the fields, he was in for a big surprise. Bohosh stuck to him like a leech, returning home safely from wherever he was left. Today, Pavel and Bohosh are inseparable. The boar has been dog-trained and responds to the basic commands. He accompanies his master on shopping trips and to the pub, where he's become a much-loved attraction, getting a bowl of beer on the floor while his master downs a few pints at the table. And if one of them should overdo it, there's always the other to lead him back home safely. If you're coming to Prague this autumn and have been here before, prepare for a big surprise. You should find the Prague taxi service, notorious for its dishonest, surly drivers, radically transformed. The head of Prague's taxi service, Jiří Kvasnička, says that as of late summer, early autumn, Prague taxi drivers will all be using yellow cabs, and those who meet you at Prague's Ruzyně Airport should be the cream of the crop, dressed in a formal suit, able to communicate in English and German, and behaving like perfect gentlemen. Their language courses start in May, and Kvasnička says that the stated high standards will be compulsory for all drivers who wish to operate in the city centre and other lucrative tourist hotspots. Well, I'm sure that any tourist who has been to Prague will agree that this sounds like heaven on earth. There's just one thing that gives me cause for concern. Among the new classes that cabbies will have to attend are assertiveness courses. And I really think that the last thing the Czech cabbies need is to get any more assertive. When the Western-style Miss Beauty contests returned to the Czech Republic after the fall of communism, they were highly publicized, well-attended events, broadcast live by Czech television and watched by millions of viewers. The communist ban on beauty queens resulted in a crazy boom of beauty queen contests in which the nation went wild. You name it, we had it. Miss Wetshirt, Miss Beer, Miss XXL, but none more bizarre than Miss Compost Heap, the latest in a series of outrageous Miss contests. 16 years on, it seems that the nation is finally sated. Although there are still two official beauty queen contests fighting for supremacy, Miss Czech Republic and Czech Miss, public interest is definitely on the wane. One of the visible signs of this moving on is that the carmaker Škoda, a prominent sponsor of these events in the past, has announced that it is no longer interested in having its name linked with the Czech Republic's beauty queens. Now, now from beauty queens to hardy women. 45-year-old Beata Borová holds the Czech hardy woman record, 40 minutes of swimming in 1 degree Celsius cold water. Jumping in the Vltava for a morning swim while the rest of us are freezing in winter coats is perfectly normal for her. Last week, though, she unwittingly set off a major rescue operation when a bypasser happened to see her in the murky waters of the Vltava. Thinking that no one could possibly be in the freezing cold river of their own volition, the woman called the rescue service's emergency hotline, and within minutes she had police vans, emergency crews and a fire engine on the spot. Well, Beata Borová was not happy to have her morning swim cut short by a determined rescuer in a lifeboat, but at least the rest of us can take comfort in the knowledge that emergency crews are really doing their job well. Little Sonia, the first baby to be left in Prague's baby box for unwanted newborns, who I told you about last week, is to go back to her mother and twin sister. The mother decided to give her up because, as a single parent, she felt she couldn't manage the financial burden of twins, which sparked a wave of concern and solidarity from Czechs. Well, luckily, Sonia's mum left her birth certificate in the baby box, and when she decided she wanted her baby back, there was nothing to prevent Sonia from joining her mother and sister on that very day. A full 68% of Czechs say they use the internet for their own enjoyment during work hours, and a full 30% of those who do admitted that they spend 4 or more hours, that is half their workday, surfing the web. Only 16% of people polled said they were strictly forbidden to use the internet for other than work purposes. Well, that considered, it's pretty amazing that the economy is doing so well. Just think where we could be if people put in a full day's work.
Thank you very much, Daniela Lazarová there with this week's magazine. Moving on though now, time for you language buffs out there. It's another ABC of Czech, presented by Pavla Horáková.
Šel zahradník do zahrady s motykou, vykopal tam rozmarínu velikou, velikou. Nebyla to rozmarína, byl to křen, vyhoď ty ho zahradníčku oknem ven, oknem ven.
Hello and welcome to the last short series on Czech idioms about nature. We are closing the cycle with a string of lessons on wild flora. And today we start with grass.
Tráva.
A word which is very similar in all Slavonic languages. Like many nations, the Czechs too are envious about the English lawn.
Anglický trávník.
Which no one but the English is ever capable of growing. Anyway, Czechs tend to call any decently trimmed lawn an English lawn. About clumsy or disaster-prone people, who tend to mess everything up, we can say
kam šlápne, tam sto let tráva neroste.
Wherever he steps, grass doesn't grow for 100 years, meaning he brings bad luck to whatever he touches. In the following idiom, grass stands for unimportance and short-livedness.
Svietská sláva, polní tráva.
Worldly fame is just like grass in the field. Fame is unimportant, it will fade away, and one should not pay much attention to it. If someone is paranoid, we can say he or she hears grass grow.
Slyší trávu růst.
He or she reads too much into things. It has nothing to do with the English saying to watch grass grow, meaning something really boring. This idiom does not have an equivalent in Czech. Czech uses several versions similar to the English idiom, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Czechs usually use it when they remember their youth or a place they liked. When I was young, even the grass was greener.
Když jsem byl mladý, i tráva byla zelenější.
The Czech word for dried grass, hay, is
seno.
A very common ailment traditionally bothering people in the haymaking season is
senarima,
hay fever, or literally hay cold. About stupid people, Czechs can say
má v hlavě seno.
He has got hay inside his head. He has nothing between the ears. And finally, an expression used both in Czech and English is
jehla v kupce sena.
A needle in a haystack. Something impossible to find, just like a needle in a haystack would be. And that's all for today's lesson. We'll be back next time with more Czech idioms about wild plants. Join us again if you can.
Naschledanou!
Pavla Horáková there, ably assisted by Daniela Lazarová in this week's ABC of Czech. Time now for our final feature of today. It is One-on-One, our interview program, and this week Jarka Halková is in conversation with Mádo Sokholm, a journalist here in the Czech Republic.
My guest today more or less interviewed himself. As a former journalist from the Armenian section of Radio Free Europe, he took hold of the microphone and began to talk about his life and experiences as we sat in a cafe overlooking Prague's Charles Bridge. Mardo Sokholm, born Armenian, brought up in Iran, a citizen of the United States and a resident of Prague, says, "The world is my home."
I'm a person you could consider a world traveler, a world citizen. I've lived in many countries. I know a few languages, and it's not difficult or strange for me, at least so far, to live in another country. Because as a human being, every country and the whole world is yours. You don't have to say, oh, this is not my country. What am I going to do there? How can I live there? It's just to understand the local people who are culturally a little bit different from you. Once you understand them, it's your country, you can live there. However, Prague is so nice and Czech Republic is so nice, it's not so easy now that I think to change and go and live somewhere else again for me. By the way, I'm 50 years old, so you can figure that. I have been working for a radio station for 17 years now. And holding the microphone and talking to the microphone is just natural for me. It's my job. But usually I'm not on this side of the microphone, which is to give an interview. I usually used to take interviews. I don't do it anymore, of course. My job at the radio station is not journalism anymore. I'm kind of a manager, but you never forget the moments when you were on the other side of the microphone.
What exactly are you doing right now? You have changed the job in Radio Free Europe.
Yeah, I was previously department manager, broadcast department manager in two different departments. Now my job is I'm the special projects manager for a media strategy called Convergence. Okay, that's a technical jargon. Let me explain. Radio is a platform, television is a platform, newspaper is a platform, internet is a different platform. Sending news through mobile phone is called a platform. To use different platforms to get more news to more people as often as possible. That's multimedia. That's convergence. To converge, to bring together the talent, to bring together the resources, to reach more people more often, more comprehensively. We do broadcast, for example, 5 hours to a country called Kazakhstan in Asia. Big country, important country, a lot of oil and gas. But so far we only use radio to try to give news to the people of Kazakhstan. Is it possible for the same journalists collecting the same news also to use television, also to use more internet, also to use mobile telephone maybe print to try to inform a wider audience than what radio can reach.
What were ups and downs of your career and of your career in radio for Europe?
Maybe this is an exaggeration, but I always had ups, never downs. Yeah, it's true. Strictly speaking about my career, if you're speaking about events, yes, there were many unpleasant events in the world that I would have rather not seen what I saw. Wars, violence, September 11, I cannot forget that. It was a shocking thing. Going further back, the wars in Yugoslavia, former Yugoslavia, all the civil wars in various countries, including country of my own ancestral origin, Armenia. As a human being, not only as a journalist, you're affected by these things. But because a journalist has to deal with it and cannot close his eyes and ears to it, you're more affected. Because you cannot escape it. Because you cannot say, my job is, for example, producing cars. So what do I care about a war in former Yugoslavia? You do care because you have to deal with it, because you know the details, because you read and see pictures of and about the people who are affected by it, other human beings. And because journalism is something you cannot do without caring, and you have to care. And when you care, it affects you.
What tragedies did you report about?
I reported as a member of the Armenian Broadcast Department of Radio Free Europe in 1988-89 about the big earthquake, for example, that happened in Armenia. That was one of the most difficult things. I was just a new starting radio journalist when 50,000 people died in an earthquake in a country which had a population of 3 million, 50,000 out of 3 million. And it was shocking. It was my introduction to the tough life. And then the fall of communism, which brought about many nervous and tense moments. I remember, for example, when the tanks were going, driving towards the heart of Moscow to overthrow Boris Yeltsin. I was on duty that day and I was covering that, and I can never forget that, when everything in Russia could change again. Everything. And people were expecting that communism can come back suddenly. But it didn't. In the last moment, democracy won. The few were afraid of the many and did not continue. I also remember November 1989. I remember I was for a few days in a row in charge of doing the newscast for the Armenian department. I was getting the news from Reuters, Associated Press, televisions here and there. People are gathering in Prague. People are marching. There are thousands of candles. And I was just surprised. I was saying, is communism going to fall because people are carrying candles? But it did. It did. And I'm proud when I remember, and I can tell maybe one day my grandchildren, that when people in Prague were marching and when the almighty communist government could not stop it and they had to accept the reality, I was there. In a way, I was there. I was covering it.
Radio Free Europe has closed down sections of the countries it considered free. Will there be a day when Radio Free Europe will just be closed down because everything, all the countries around the world will be free?
I personally hope so. And every time when we closed down a department, it was mixed feelings of accomplishment but also pain, because you work in an organization and you see the name of that department for years and you know the people working there, and one morning you wake up and that department is closed, and those people who have done a wonderful job are not there anymore. They're not there anymore because they succeeded. That's the irony. Not because they failed, but because they succeeded. But after a while, you come to the conclusion that, yes, that's the right way to go about it. That when a country has its own free media, and there is no need for the American or the German or any other foreign broadcaster to broadcast into that country, great. So it means we have achieved our aims.
You lived in New York, Beirut, all over the world. If you should compare Czech lifestyle, Czechs, what would be your conclusion?
Every nation is different. Circumstances are different. You can never find two countries or two nations who are like each other. Things are very different. It's hard to compare. I like the Czech Republic for a few reasons. One is that it's a calm society. Contrary to what locals might think, people go about their routines in a civilized way. They're calm. It's a homogeneous country. No religious or ethnic conflicts. That's a great asset. I've lived in countries where there are different religions and nations and ethnic groups. It's always tense. Here you don't feel that. There is a certain standard in everything that is respected. Of course, if you live in Germany or Switzerland, that's taken for granted. And here maybe it's less than that. But if you regard the Czech Republic not as Germany or Switzerland, but as a country that was under communism for so many years and still it's finding its place in the world and it's still shaping its institutions and things are not finished yet, you're surprised to see that there are standards, that with bureaucracy, with all its shortcomings, is much better than many other countries which formerly had communist regimes. There are many things which is good, and there are certain shortcomings. I mean, I it's silly for me to say that, but I really do miss the old Prague. I've been here for 10 years, and I can already say the old Prague. 8 years ago, things were so simple, and you didn't get this sense of commercial things, and every shop and every store had its character. And you could say, oh, if you go to the other end of the city, you can find a flower shop which has this, or you can find a furniture shop which the guy makes his own furniture and you can buy it there. Of course, now it's big shopping centers, shopping malls. You can find the same store in every place, selling the same thing in every... There's commercialization. And as an old resident of Prague, I do miss old Prague.
Jarka Halková was in conversation with Mardo Sokholm, a journalist here in the Czech Republic. And we're just about out of time for today. Quickly, a reminder of our address. It is Radio Prague 12099 Prague 2, the Czech Republic. The email english@radio.cz. From me, Peter Smith. Till next time, bye-bye.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures vingt-sept. Europe, 5930, 7345. 8h30, 8h57. Europe, 9860, 11600. 17h30, 17h57. Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 15710. 19h30, 19h57. Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 9430, 23h, 23h27. Amérique du Nord, 5930, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.